Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. I am Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr will be with us. Dave Kistler is along with us, and hopefully we will be having Jimmy DeYoung with us later on in the program as well. This is a day that the Lord has made, David Kistler, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, won't we, sir?
Gary, we will. In fact, I don't know what your weather is up there in Pennsylvania, but down here in North Carolina, it's absolutely beautiful, probably 74 degrees, sunshine in the sky after all this rain we've had for about a week and a half. So, Gary, it's an exciting day to be alive and certainly an exciting day to be on radio and serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen. And as always, there's a whole lot for us to be talking about today, and we will be getting to some of those things as time goes on. I do want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that tomorrow is Bring Your Bible to School Day. Dave, this is a national program that's been going on for quite some time, and young people are encouraged to take their Bible to school. I know that over the years we've had folks from our church take Bibles to school, their Bibles to the school, and they've had no troubles with it. I think it's a great thing to do. I think it's a great testimony for the Lord. And folks, I know that your children are in school right now, no doubt. But when they come home this evening, maybe you can encourage them to take their Bible to school tomorrow and use it as a witness, use it as a testimony. Dave, what kind of an effect can this idea of taking your Bible to school have on the other students as well as the teachers in the schools where these folks attend?
Well, Gary, you know, there's a number of positive benefits. Certainly the presence of the scriptures on someone's books, you know, carried preferably on top of all their other books, their math books, their science books, and so on, makes a statement in and of itself. So, Gary, anything like that is very, very positive. Obviously, if the Bible were read from in the public school, the impact would be far more significant. But, Gary, there is something to this. With this attempt to eliminate God and the scriptures from the public marketplace, from our culture as a whole, just the presence of the Word of God, not in a mystical or magical sense, but just the presence of the Word of God in a place where it's normally not welcome, in and of itself, is a positive thing. Plus, it does something for those young people who are courageous enough to be a part of this initiative and take their Bible with them. All of that, Gary, is very, very, very positive.
Well, it absolutely is very positive, and I've sensed that myself, that when people walk into the room and see the Bible, many times their whole deportment changes. Have you ever noticed that, Dave?
Well, Gary, I have, you know, and I've been in, and you've been with me, you know, we've been in a particular congressman's office in Washington, D.C., and lying there on his desk open is his copy of the scriptures. Gary, that screams something loudly to all of the people that come into that office and makes a very clear statement. So let's say hundreds of thousands of young people across this nation carried their Bibles with them to school. What does that say, Gary, about their commitment to Jesus Christ, their commitment to the Word of God? Does that leave an indelible impression on teachers and administrators and other students? Absolutely it does. So, Gary, this is really a wonderful thing, and we here at the American Pastors Network stand unequivocally behind this effort.
Well, we do, and so we are encouraging each and every one of you as parents to encourage your children to take the Bible to school tomorrow, particularly if they go to the public school. I hope if they go to the Christian school that they take their Bibles, Dave. You know, I believe in Christian education, and Sam, you know, I know you believe in Christian education as well. And I just want to ask you, if you would please, to comment on the value of Christian education in the day and age in which we live.
Well, Gary, it's essential. You know, going all of the way back to the founding days of our country, you know, one of the primary things that I hear, even in the state of Pennsylvania, and I go to William Penn often, but he said in his eight of ten points, necessary for a republic, or what he was talking about, a holy experiment, which is the United States of America, with a prayed for on that end, which God brought into existence, that the only way that that entity could come into existence or remain was that there was a virtuous education of the youth. And what he meant by that was an education based on the Bible, where the understanding of character and integrity and the various points that he laid out, the understanding of the nature and the role of God and the purpose for law and the nature of man being sinful and needing of a Savior, all of those things were a part of a virtuous education. That's what we would call a Christian education today, more or less. And he knew that you could not establish or maintain without that. And yet now we've seen almost a generation go by in this country where the Ten Commandments have been taken out and prayer taken out and therefore the Bible, and we have seen the natural results of it, a generation that neither understands nor appreciates who God is and the necessity of duty and integrity and those kinds of things. So, Gary, it is essential not just for a Christian family to exist and for, you know, our children to grow up into adulthood, leading responsible lives, but it's essential for the maintenance of our free country.
Do you remember back in the days when there was a push to get the Ten Commandments out in public? And of course, we did it here in the Altoona area as it relates to our school district as well as our city hall. We found that there was a judge, some particular judge made the statement that he did not want to see the Ten Commandments posted up in public schools because somebody might read it and obey it. Do you remember that, Sam? Or Dave, do you remember that statement?
Gary, I do. I remember it very, very vividly. I don't know if Sam does, but yes, sir, I do.
And so, you know, that's what we expect. And one of the reasons why, you know, this nation is going down the tube today is because we have taken the presentation of absolute truth, being the Word of God, found in the Ten Commandments, away from the eyes and the sight of many people today. And so there is no moral guide, Dave.
Well, Gary, there's not. And, you know, if we follow that line of thinking through, the very presence of the Word of God in the classroom being carried by individual students would be equally a threat that it might be actually read, you know, somewhere within the context of a school and a school day. And Gary, it is a sad state of affairs whenever people are scared to death of the influence of the Word of God, which is righteous and holy and just. I mean, how far have we come in the United States of America? But yet this movement of carrying your Bible to school, Gary, again, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing. We need to do more of this kind of thing, be more aggressive, more, I don't want to say in your face, but just more out there in living our faith in the public square. And public education is certainly a place where faith needs to be lived out visibly and very vocally. And so this is an exciting thing for which I'm very, very thankful.
Well, it is. And so, again, I encourage all of you parents to encourage your children who go to public schools to take their Bibles with them tomorrow. We're going to go into a break, and when we come back, we will be having with us once again Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is the host of Prophecy Today. We're going to be talking about Russia and the Middle East. It just seems like every day something more is developing over there. As in my opinion, it seems like we are setting the stage, or we're not setting the stage, but we're seeing the stage set for Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. So we will be talking to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung about that when we come back. Stay tuned. This is Stand in the Gap Today on the American Pastors Network.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Henry Muhlenberg died this day, October 7, 1787. He was one of the founders of the Lutheran Church in America. His son, John Peter, became a U.S. Senator, and son Frederick became the first Speaker of the House. Henry Muhlenberg pastored near Valley Forge during the Revolutionary War. He commented, "I heard a fine example today, namely that His Excellency George Washington rode around among his army yesterday and admonished each and every one to fear God, to put away wickedness, and to practice Christian virtues. The Lord God has marvelously preserved him from harm in the midst of countless perils."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and of course we want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap radio site, which is at www.standinthegapradio.com, and on there you can learn more about our ministry here in this particular radio program, as well as your hosts. And the real reason why we encourage you to go there is because, one, you can communicate with us from that site, and we encourage you to do that. And then secondly, if you happen to be away from the radio signal, you can pick the program up there as well online. And we do realize that we've got some technical difficulties today with the satellite and so forth. And so if you're listening by way of radio and it may be breaking up a little bit, I encourage you to go to that website, www.standinthegapradio.com, and you can pick up our live streaming there, and it will be nice and clear for you. So just something for you to take into consideration. Well, we are delighted to have once again with us a dear friend of ours, a dear friend of the program, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who, of course, is the host of Prophecy Today. I might mention that for those of you in the Philadelphia area, that Jimmy will be at the Valley Forge Baptist Temple in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, all day this coming Sunday, and will also be at the High Point Baptist Chapel in Geigertown, Pennsylvania, all day next Sunday. So, Jimmy, not only are we going to welcome you aboard today to the radio program, but welcome to Pennsylvania, my friend.
Looking forward to being there with you. And, man, what an opportunity. Two outstanding locations there in the Pennsylvania area. And great history in that part of the world. I love history. You have to know and understand and love history if you're going to be a student of God's Word. But American history is a special interest of mine. So I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to have opportunity to teach the prophetic word of God. We're living in such a time, Dave, that indeed, Gary, if we don't understand what God's word is telling us about the end times, we're going to be very confused about why all of these things are happening. So what a privilege and a joy and an opportunity. I'm thankful for it.
Well, it is, and I know the people there in the Philadelphia area will benefit from your teaching. And so, folks, if you are in the Philadelphia area, remember this coming Sunday at the Valley Forge Baptist Temple, and then, of course, again next week at High Point in Geigertown, High Point the Baptist Chapel in Geigertown. You'll not want to miss it. Well, Sam, we're going to defer to you with our first question for Dr. DeYoung today.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Gary. And Dr. DeYoung, great to have you back with us. And we want to get right into it because there is so much happening. And I want to head right to the Middle East. We'd like to concentrate on what's happening there with Russia. Certainly the emergence of Russia on the scene in Syria, surprisingly, seems to have taken our U.S. intelligence by surprise. At least that's what they say. But it appears, by all indications, that Russia is intending to permanently put up a position there in the Middle East, and if that happens, will replace the United States as the dominant world power. There are a lot of implications to that. My simple question to you just to begin this discussion is, do you believe Russia's presence is, in fact, permanent? They're not saying that it is, but do you believe it's permanent? And if so, what's their goal here in what they're really intending to do now here in the Middle East?
Sam, last time we were together about 2 weeks ago, we just touched the hem of the garment as it relates to Russia's presence in the Middle East, and in particular in Syria. Since that time when we had a conversation, these last 2 weeks, things have intensified. The Russian aircraft are on the ground in the bases, the military bases that they have set up, Air Force bases there in Syria. These same aircraft are in the air. They have boots on the ground. They have encouraged and increased all of their naval operation at the naval base there on the Mediterranean. Russia has almost looked like they are moving in with a permanent plan to stay in Syria. Now, as I see it, I don't see anything in the future that would really cause them to be moving out. Now, of course, I have to look at all of world events in light of biblical prophecy. And so, as mentioned earlier by the guys, Ezekiel 38 and 39 have to play into my thinking. My mindset has to be led by God's prophetic scenario for the end times, and Russia will be a major player as a coalition of nations come against the state of Israel, the Jewish state, trying to get rid of the Jewish state in the Middle East. The number one player to make the first move against Israel is going to be Syria, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 40 and following. And so that has to play into my thinking. But from a political perspective, it is key that Russia have a presence in the Middle East. Number one, you said that the fact that Vladimir Putin has sent his soldiers in there, sent his naval operations in there, sent his air force in there, it's indicative of the fact that he has taken the leadership role in the Middle East. There was a vacuum created by President Obama. And when he waffled on what should be done as far as Syria is concerned, well, the insurgents trying to take down Bashar Assad intensified their work to do that. They haven't been quite successful yet. They came very close not too long ago, but not successful yet. And then along comes Russia, and they start to prop up Bashar Assad. At that same time, Russia is partnering with Iran. They send Revolutionary Guard in there. They're going to have a permanent presence because they're spending $13 billion a year to make sure that the Assad regime does not go away. Now, you put all of that together with what I've just said, and Russia now has not only had their aircraft in the airspace over Syria, but within the last 48 hours, they have flown into the airspace of Turkey. The Turks are very much concerned. Tayyip Erdogan said this is not right. Russia has no right to come into our airspace unannounced like they are. And in fact, what really got him so upset was those Russian aircraft locked on to the Turkish aircraft that were in the air. They were ready to target them with some type of a air-to-air missile, and this was very much concerning to the Turkish government. So I see this thing being ratcheted up unbelievably. I don't see, it may happen way down the line, but I don't see in the very close future here how Russia is going to be able to pull out. They've got too much invested right now.
Dr. Jimmy, this is Dave Kissler. I want to ask you a question about what has been going on as far as the targets that Russia has been trying to strike with these airstrikes that they have been initiating. It seems from what we're hearing that they're not going after ISIS entities, which was their reason for going in, at least their stated reason for going in. They seem to be going after the anti-Assad elements that we have been supporting. What are you hearing about that, and what is the end game that Vladimir Putin has here? I know, obviously, he wants to prop Assad up, but is there more sinister designs that he has in your mind?
Well, I do believe there are more sinister designs, Dave. And the fact, what we're talking about here is Russia is not only wanting to be involved in controlling Syria, but they want to control the entire Middle East as well. When you talked about the Russians going in and taking control of what's happening as it relates to Syria, that is true. You also mentioned that it looks like they are not targeting as much or as often as they said they were going to the Islamic State, who now controls 50% of the landmass of the state of Syria. Howbeit they are, just today there was a report that some of their ships, the Russian ships out there in the Mediterranean, remember, they have that naval port base there on the Syrian coast with the Mediterranean, they fired a ship-to-air missiles, and what really took place was they hit some of the Islamic State targets. So they're, I think, doing a mix, Dave, of hitting the Islamic State targets. They know that that's one of their enemies as well. That's number one. But number two, they're doing what they can to go after the insurgents that are trying to take down Bashar Assad. I think Vladimir Putin really says, hey, those are two in the same. You've got to take down Islamic State, but those others, Al-Qaeda, and by the way, just as caveat, Al-Qaeda, Al-Sawari, who's the head of Al-Qaeda, said Baghdadi, who's the head of Islamic State, is not the leader of the Muslim world. So there's still now infighting going on between the two major Islamic terror organizations. All the time, Vladimir Putin sitting there in Moscow telling his military people, hey, here's what we need to do. Boy, what a strategy we have in place. And the Obama administration standing there in Washington not having any idea what to do.
Well, it seems to me as though Putin is being elevated as the man of the hour. The man who's going to be bringing everything together over there in the Middle East because of the fact that our own president, Barack Obama, will apparently do nothing. He's just sitting back and watching. Of course, he has already said that he's leading from behind. He surely is. And there's no doubt about it that what we see taking place over there is a build-up toward Ezekiel 38 and 39, in my opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, he'll be with us, and we'll continue to talk about the Middle East and what's taking place over there with Russia, ISIS, even Iraq now, and Iran, and some other important issues. So don't you go away. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We'll be back right after these messages.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Beaver Dam in Columbia, South Carolina is now stabilized, we're told. People in 1,000 homes had been told to get to higher ground. Governor Nikki Haley says with flooding in her state moving downstream,
things are getting better in the Midlands. Things are about to get worse on the coast.
She says more evacuations are possible. Back in Columbia, people are told to keep boiling their drinking water. Crews are working to repair a canal breach that's threatening the source. There are still roads and bridges out there, but the power's back on. A demand for an independent international investigation of a U.S. airstrike on a hospital in Kunduz, Afghanistan.
To understand if, in fact, a grave violation of international humanitarian law has taken place and whether or not it amounts to a war crime.
Jason Cohn's executive director of the charity Doctors Without Borders. At least 22 people died in that airstrike on Saturday. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
The Scientific Edge, Defining the Limits of Evolution, is the theme of this year's Coventry Christian School's annual dinner event this Thursday evening at 6:15 at the historic Sunnybrook Ballroom in Pottstown. Come and hear Dr. Stephen Meyer and Dr. Michael J. Behe, renowned scientists and researchers and intelligent design advocates, as they explore the limits to evolution and challenge the theory that evolution is responsible for the development of all complex life on our planet. Speaker tickets are still available up until 6:15 p.m. on Thursday. The cost is $25 for adults and $15 for students of middle school, high school, and college.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And, of course, we are delighted to have with us once again Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who is the host of Prophecy Today. And, you know, Jimmy, we are just amazed at the insight that God has given you in Bible prophecy. And I appreciate a statement that you made in the past segment, and that is that you have to look at everything that's taking place historically as well as currently I should say, in light of what the Word of God says. And, you know, that's a true biblical worldview. And, of course, we are encouraging our listeners on a regular basis to develop a biblical worldview, which means look at everything through the eyes of the Scripture. We must do that in this day and age in which we live. But, Jimmy, a question that I have for you is that, you know, Iraq, it appears, at least, that Iraq has now officially requested Russia's and Iran's assistance with Iraq to root out ISIS. And the report that I heard said that the reason why Iraq is doing that is simply because of the fact that the United States is not fulfilling its promise to stand behind Iraq and to help defend them, which, of course, again, is a very, very sad situation. It appears that Russia is more than glad to comply on this. It was interesting to hear, I think it was their foreign minister said, well, you know, we would never go into a country without being invited because we are very polite people. He must have forgotten about Ukraine and Crimea and places like that. But nevertheless, you know, when Russia and Iran assist Iraq, will this likely then lead to Iraq becoming an extension of Iran or the historical Persia? Your thoughts, Jimmy?
Gary, I don't believe that is going to be the ultimate case. And that's because, again, of my worldview based upon prophetic information in God's Word. Revelation chapter 18 talks about a location called Babylon. And Babylon, of course, is what we know today as modern-day Iraq. Babylon on the shores of the Euphrates River, some 58 miles out of downtown Baghdad. Now, that's a place and a very important place as it relates to Bible prophecy in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. You might remember going back in history, again, that historic understanding I have based upon the Word of God, it was the Medo-Persian Empire that defeated the Babylonian Empire, and the Medes and the Persians were the second Gentile world power to come into existence after the Babylonians were taken down by the Medes and the Persians. So I don't see Iraq becoming a part of greater Iran. I do believe, though, in political thinking today that Iran would love for that to happen. In fact, 60% of the entire population of Iraq, 60% I'm talking about, is of the Shiite persuasion. Now, there are two factions, of course, in the Islamic world, Sunnis and Shiites. The Shiites are basically headquartered right there in Iran. That's an Iranian republic, a Islamic republic operated by Sharia, which is the law of the Quran, etc. And 60% of the population over in Iraq are of the Shiite persuasion. So they would love to see that happen, but I don't believe it's going to happen. I believe that what is going to take place is that they're going to be their own entity. And the fact that they're calling Russia in, and, you know, that's a very interesting move. We've been talking about Russia and Syria. Russia last week sent a major 3-star general into Baghdad to meet with the leadership. Today, on my website, on my news, my top 10 news stories, I'm talking about Iraq now requesting Russian presence in order to assist them in fighting Islamic State and the other insurgents that are trying to take down the Iraqi effort to rebuild their war-torn nation. And in fact, they want more Russian presence than they do American presence. Now, that has to date back to 2011 when the then newly elected President of the United States, Barack Obama, was trying to fulfill a campaign promise that he was going to pull the troops out of Iraq. How stupid was that? Any military strategist, I mean, in 101 military strategy, you learn you don't pull out of a war-torn country which is not stable enough in order to exist. Look at Europe, for example. We still have U.S. soldiers all across Europe, and that's how many years? 75 years after World War II. It was a very stupid move that our president made, but it has been the result of what's happening. In fact, we look, guys, at the entire Middle East, and it's because of the lack of leadership here in the United States of America. So I do see that's the case right now.
Dr. Jimmy, this is Dave, and I want to come from the Middle East back to the United States of America for just a second. You know, the president called ISIS the JV team, and now just in the last 24 hours, ISIS has issued a call for their entities inside the United States of America, lone wolf entities, to go after Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL who was basically the man who pulled the trigger that killed the most wanted man in the world, Osama bin Laden, back in May of 2011. Some would see ISIS, Dr. Jimmy, as a radical aberration, something that's not the norm within the religion of Islam. And yet now ISIS is calling for the killing of a man who took out Osama bin Laden, who was not in any way directly connected with the ISIS entity, because that entity technically did not exist at the time. Can you speak to this issue? How is ISIS not an aberration at all of the teachings and the ideology of Islam? And speak to a little bit maybe to what you know as far as how much of this type of thing is going to escalate, this calling for taking out of targets in America who have spoken out against Islamic entities or who have killed a Muslim entity that's a key player in the Islamic world. Speak to that if you wouldn't mind.
Well, just a moment ago, Dave, I did start to speak to that. In fact, I talked about the rivalry between al-Qaeda, which was established, of course, by Osama bin Laden, al-Sawari, who was the man who led the team that assassinated Anwar Sadat in Egypt, was the number two man in al-Qaeda. He then became the number one man when Osama bin Laden was taken out by that Navy SEAL. And so there's that rivalry going on now for the leadership of the Islamic world. And I'm talking about the Islamic radical world. But may I tell you and remind you of something? If you are a Muslim, it was very interesting what Ben Carson said about he did not want to have a Muslim as president of the United States, and everybody started attacking him. Boy, that was a brilliant statement, because any Muslim, if he's a true Muslim, believes in the Quran, he has to. That's a part of the five pillars of his faith. And you believe in the Quran, you believe in holy jihad, you believe in holy war, it has to be a part of your psyche for every single thing you decide to do. Now, you've got Islamic State. What I think is happening here as it relates to this order to take out the Navy SEAL who killed Osama bin Laden, they're trying to make inroads over into al-Qaeda. They don't want an inner Islamic battle to be taking place. They want to go after the rest of the world. So they don't want to really be fighting al-Qaeda. They would like to partner up with them, and they're going to be able to do that ultimately, again, because that's what God's prophetic word says. And I do believe it's going to be centered around the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem and all that's going on. And the reason I say that is because during the Jewish Holy Days, which just have been completed, the fall Jewish Holy Days, the incitement and the violence on the Temple Mount was center focus. It was so much so that the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, stood up in the United Nations and threatened Israel about trying to keep calm on the Temple Mount. John Kerry said, Jordan has the control of the Temple Mount, and Israel should have nothing to do with it. The leaders of Iran said, we're going to have an Islamic summit to come together to determine what should we do to Israel about the Temple Mount. Here's what I'm saying. Everything is going to come together ultimately with all these players in the Islamic world to try to wipe out the Jewish state of Israel. That's Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, Daniel chapter 11. We know that's going to be the case. We're watching it come together. We're watching all the partners and the pieces of the puzzle fit together at this moment in time. And so I think this is just a PR move by Islamic State to try to say, hey, we're going to help you, al-Qaeda. We're going to send our lone wolf terrorists out there to try to wipe out that Navy SEAL, that hero who took out Osama bin Laden.
Hey, Jimmy, I'm going to jump in on you right now. I don't know if you can stay with us into the next break or not. If you could, we'd like to have you, but you've got about a minute if you don't. And I'm going to go right directly to Israel. Israel's being totally surrounded. What are they going to do, and what are we going to be able to see them do here relative to being totally surrounded and really no one to come to their aid?
Well, and let me just say this, Sam. I can stay if you need me. But here's what I think Israel is preparing to do. Today, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, canceled a trip. He was going to have a trip to meet with Angela Merkel in Germany. This would be a very important trip as far as the Prime Minister of Israel is concerned. He canceled that because of all the intensity of the violence going on in Israel. I think they're getting prepared to take care of any enemy that might be trying to harm.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who has graciously said that he would remain with us for the final segment of the program today. Jimmy, we want to thank you for being willing to do that. So these are subjects, these are issues, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand from the perspective of the Word of God. And I don't know of anyone any better who can explain these things to us than Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. So take a break. And in about 4 minutes, we will be back with you right after these messages. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, "As a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier." He said, "The calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come. Expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power." He said, "God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore," he said, "don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, along with Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dahl, and of course we have as our guest today Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. And Jimmy, something that is really pretty current here. As a matter of fact, we've just been hearing about this today. It's seemingly developing as the day goes on, that there is some indication that Russian gangs, or at least gangs in Russia, are threatening to supply nuclear weapons to ISIS over there in the Middle East. As a matter of fact, one of the reports I received indicated that this may go back as far as when Russia took over Crimea, which I think is a very, very interesting situation, if indeed that's true. My question to you today is, what all does this mean? Is this Russian propaganda? Is Russia behind this? What are your thoughts on this particular story?
Well, I'm not sure that I can answer the question, is Russia behind this? Is this propaganda from the Russian leadership or not? Let me tell you, though, what I do know for sure. The fact is that there are absolute substantial reports coming out of the Middle East that Islamic State does have weapon of mass destruction components. Now, let me just remind you, they're in Iraq. Hello? Everybody got after George W. Bush when he said that there were weapons of mass destructions there. And indeed, that was the case. That is very important for us to understand. That was shown to be the case by Ariel Sharon, then Prime Minister of Israel, when he showed the entire nation how they were moving some type of weapons out of Iraq into Damascus, Syria, unloading them on 18-wheelers and taking them in to the Mekong Valley. They're burying them, and one of the reasons that the leader of Syria, Bashar Assad, was able to have such a large arsenal of chemical weapons of mass destruction. You might remember that a couple of years back when the United States wanted to have those removed. When you think about that, where in the world did he get those weapons of mass destruction, the chemical aspects of those weapons of mass destruction? He got them out of Iraq. And, you know, they gassed. I think the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, I think documented over 150,000 Kurds there in northern Iraq. They were gassed with these chemical weapons of mass destruction by Saddam Hussein. So there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Now, it's very then easy for Islamic State, since they control so much of the property in the area where these weapons would have been used and where there were storage areas that we know for sure for weapons of mass destruction, they could get these components. Russia has been known, and in years past, they were ones involved in trying to bring out the suitcase bombs, you know, dirty nuclear bombs that could be contained within a suitcase. So I don't know what Russia's doing. I don't know if they're behind it. I do know that Islamic State has weapon of mass destruction components. They want to do that. They're also already using chemical weapons in some of the cases that we've seen coming out of the areas where Islamic State are in control. I know Syria has these chemical weapons of mass destruction. I don't think they destroyed their entire arsenal. I think that weapons of mass destruction are major players, a part of this whole mix in the Middle East, and we better be paying attention to it.
Dr. Jimmy, again, this is Dave. I just want to thank you so much for your forthrightness and being willing to speak so clearly and unequivocally on these issues. And I know you're a gentleman who's very well connected. And I just have to ask this question. What you just said, of course, should strike fear to the heart of people who understand the goals of the Islamic State and these other Islamic entities. But my question is this. There is no way that our American administration could be ignorant of any of these components and these elements as far as this nuclear material that's over there. Could you speak to what you know or what you have heard or are hearing relative to why the United States and the current administration seems to be just they're not exercised at all? It doesn't appear to be seem to be about any of this. I mean, why would that be?
I don't understand why that would be. That's a strange capacity of trying to grab a hold of what is happening in our administration. May I say the leadership down below the administration in the White House, I'm talking about the military leaders of this nation, are very aware of what's going on. Some of them are now considering retiring from the military before their time comes to do exactly that because of what this administration is doing and are rejecting. I understand that Barack Obama has a different worldview than you and I and many of our listeners would have as it relates to these issues. And I do not understand what's making him tick ultimately unless he is just totally so mentally deranged that he's not capable of comprehending his people. I have a man who a connection to the Pentagon. He's involved with the strategy making policy there in the Pentagon, a former colonel in the United States Army, longtime friend. And he's told me that these people in the Pentagon are so frustrated, they have no idea what to do. They can't go against the commander-in-chief or they're going to be fired. They don't want to have that happen to them. And so this is a situation that is bad as far as America is concerned. I think that's the problem. I think the administration, I guess to make, and I'm not a political animal at this point in time, but I guess the only thing we could do is change the administration as quickly as possible and get somebody in there that believes from a biblical perspective and a worldview that wants to make America strong, not the policemen of the world, but strong enough so everybody will shut up and pay attention.
I agree, Jimmy, and I thank you for that being so direct on that. We're getting very, very close to the end, but I cannot have us leave this program without you giving us an update on the Temple Mount. You mentioned about Jordan making a statement there about the ownership of that, but what's happening? Is any progress in what's taking place there in Jerusalem?
Well, the people who want to put the temple up on the Temple Mount, Sam, are just going right ahead. And they're just looking at all of this. I talked with Nachman Kahana. Nachman Kahana, by the way, you mentioned in your preliminary report that you sent me to think about the agenda for today. How's the Sanhedrin doing? Nachman Kahana, I had him confirm to me the Sanhedrin had been reformed. He said he was the chairman of the Sanhedrin. That confirmed to me that it had been reformed. But he said he stepped aside because they were doing nothing at this point in time. And he's the man who did the Bible study with the guys who lead up the Temple Institute. Hanan Richman, the expert on the red heifer. Israel Ariel, who is the leader of the Temple Institute preparing to build the next temple. These people are saying, and Nachman Kahana told me, he says everything's changing so quickly in this world. The Lord has a way of working insurgents, and he's going to come about and make things happen the way he wants to. I believe. Now, the next temple, we must remind everybody, is the temple for Antichrist, but it is ready to be put up at any moment.
Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we want to thank you so very, very much for being with us today, my dear friend. And, of course, we encourage our listeners to follow you as you are the host of Prophecy Today, and you'll be in Pennsylvania here in the next week or two, two Sundays. We'll announce your presence to our listeners in the Philadelphia area so they can join you as well. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow. Until then, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.